Wait for it. There it is. Woo! Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bacon Smiles Podcast, episode number 38.
Amazing.
How about that?
Amazing.
38 episodes.
5 episodes in, we're like, wow, this is crazy. Now we're at 38. Well,
yeah.
We're on a roll.
And, you know, we've been pretty steady at this two-week thing.
Yeah, doing really well.
But as always, I'm Steve Patera, joined by my good friend.
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Yeah, that's right. So, I'm going to do the breakdown, and this time we're actually going to get to it. Distracted halfway through last time.
Well, I almost died, so
yeah. Evan take the blame was choking for that. To death. Buster's peeing in the hallway.
You know. I forgot about that. It's like running under the door.
Yeah, so...
Sorry for the visual. I don't know why I said that.
Starting off great.
Yeah. Number one mistake.
Yeah. Anyway... Back on track. So, the breakdown last time, I mentioned that our good friend Denise Bartlett was no longer the DRE at St. Bart's.
Correct.
So, we're going to talk about that this time. Mm-hmm. Just basically how much she meant to both of us.
And absolutely.
That program in general. So, we're going to get to that. When you guys listen to this, if you're not following live, Zoe will be 2 months old.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Crazy.
So, also, your wife, Jen's birthday.
Is tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Thursday.
That same day, Zoe will be 2 years old. Not 2 years. 2 months old. We're not getting that far. Also, Jen, speaking of Jen, paint night.
We had paint night at St. Bart's.
Yep. And I went to the cathedral last weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For the confirmation. Yeah, it was cool.
Awesome, yeah.
The Sacred Heart.
How's the setting there for a confirmation?
Dude, it was packed.
Really?
Like, to the brim. I was standing for most of it. Yeah.
Awesome.
But I also got to see my friend who's a priest at the cathedral.
Yeah.
Who did a blessing and a Eucharistic service for Zoe and I. So that was cool.
Nice.
I
guess,
got to hug him. I look like kind of like a big deal. You know?
Yeah,
to my three kids were like, Steve's like hugging priests.
Wow.
But anyway.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Speaking of St. Bart's, youth group is at NCYC.
That's right. They're there now in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I can talk about some of the past experiences with NCYC and stuff like that. So that's cool. And then you got music.
Absolutely. News of the Weird.
So, and then Saint of the Day today is St. Gertrude the Great, which is awesome because one of my confirmation candidates, I was her sponsor.
Yeah.
St. Gertrude, because we named her Gertrude.
I remember that. Yeah.
Shout out to Kara.
And that's a unique title that we'll be talking about, too, the great.
And today's gospel is Luke 17, chapter 17, 20 through 25. And that's the kingdom of God. So
excellent.
Cool. Yeah. And then you got news of the week.
Yep.
All right, so breaking it down right at the beginning. So Denise Bartlett, who had been the DRE at St. Bart's since before I was in the program.
For a good period of time.
And a big part of my faith journey, a big part of my story actually stems from those days where I was the troublesome kid who would try to get thrown out every class. And Denise was the most patient person in the world and is a big reason I am who I am today. Mm. And she stuck with me and still had me coming in and talking to the eighth graders as part of religious ed to talk about my faith journey. That really gave me the confidence that I could go and do retreats for other parishes and speak in front of groups of kids without it, you know, not going well. That honestly, because I had no prior history with any of these eighth graders when I go in and talk with them for a couple hours, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm standing in front of them and doing some activities and then sharing my faith journey. And they don't know who I am, but they can relate to my story, which lets me know that I could do this, you know? And that's where, like, I have her to thank for that.
Right.
You know, she saw something in me that I definitely did not see in myself, you know, when I started volunteering with confirmation, that she was like, you know, you have a pretty awesome story. I'd love if you'd be able to share it. And I'm like, yeah, of course.
Be happy to.
Yeah, anything you need. And so that's where it really started, was that I knew that I could do it, you know. And just, I can't imagine how many lives she has touched over the years.
Well, the cool thing about her, and you can say the same thing about her husband, Deacon Bell.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That they just are always, from what I saw anyway, very level-headed. And always had the right thing to say when people needed to hear it.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the year, for our school year, she and Steve D'Amata had a little retreat for the catechists.
Mm-hmm.
And it was perfect because there was so much going on with the parish merging and a lot of questions and some anxiety, like a lot of churches that are going through the merges right now. But they had this whole day where we just got to get together and sit down as both the CCD teachers and the high school groups, just talking about our faith and looking at scripture and the story about Jesus walking on the water to the disciples on the boat. And it was just a nice little retreat to get away and just kind of come together as a group and remember we're all one team.
And that's an important thing, to get a bond going. And she was always great, even at the end of the year catechist dinner, and just the effort and the love that she put into that. That she knew and appreciated all the work that went into the religious ed department and confirmation teachers and youth ministry, and how you can't do that job without putting your heart all the way in it. And so she, just an amazing, amazing DRE, an amazing spiritual director, and just... I can't say enough like how much she did for me, and I can't tell you how many lives she touched along the way. Vicky Rispoli used to always say that if you touch one person, you change one person's life for the better, steer them towards Christ, one person, then it was all worth it.
Yeah.
And
amen.
So I can tell you I'm one person that they both affected in a positive way. I wouldn't be here with you, of course, doing this. You know, I wouldn't have been a peer minister while you were in the program. I wouldn't have became a confirmation teacher. I wouldn't be a youth minister at another parish right now. Like, I'm a youth
starting
minister.
One from the ground up.
Yeah. I wouldn't be that, you know.
Yeah.
And I can't thank Denise Bartlett enough. And like you said, her husband's a big part of it, too. Deacon Bill Bartlett. I miss hearing him preach at masses.
I might have to go visit him someday.
Yeah, I love his just the historical nature of his homilies, where he just talks about the things that were happening around the gospel. Like, at this time, this was a thing. And this is culturally what they were doing.
Gives you a little bit of perspective.
Exactly. So here's what they really mean by that. And so when you look at that part of it, if you look at the gospel too closely, you don't get everything. But he always broadened it out. And I miss that.
And he always sounded, when he was doing his homilies, he always sounded like he was talking to everybody
as an individual. Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a grand delivery where he's projecting or, you know, dramatic. It was...
And never overtalked the room.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He felt like he was stepping back and talking to you like I am right now.
Yeah.
You know?
And it just never... It seemed over my head. It wasn't too over the top, like, with theology. It was
meeting you where you were.
Yeah, exactly. And in all honesty, Denise was great at that, too. And she, just anything you needed as, like, a resource, you know? A couple times I was like, you know, what do you have for rosaries for teenagers? Or rosary, my goddaughter, I got her a rosary last year or the year before when she was, like, 7 or 8. And I was like, you got anything for, like, a 7 or 8-year-old to, you know, really get the rosary? Because I feel like most of the brochures on the rosary just don't break it down for him. She's like, oh yeah. You know, and it's just,
I got you,
that kind of stuff, like, just without really even thinking about it, like, of course, why, oh yeah, of course I have that. And her nature of bringing other people in, bringing in a doctor, Luis Cadulo, to talk about with theology of the body and like what it means to hold on to yourself and modesty and stuff like that. But then also talk about the dangers of the world from a doctor's perspective who sees all the darkness, you know, like that kind of stuff that not a lot of religious directors would dare to do because they're so worried about, you know, having to do it out of the book, you know, going by the workbook. And Denise didn't do that. She she trusted in her teachers, and she knew that you needed to branch out. You had to think outside the box. And just that's why the program has been so successful for so long. And she will definitely be missed at St. Bart's, St. Bridget's parishes just because, you know, you can't replace a Denise Bartlett.
No.
You can only hope to continue on with what she built. You cannot replace her.
Right. So, amen.
Yeah. Thanks, Denise, for everything that you did. We really, really appreciate it. So.
Yes.
Yes.
So I can't remember where we're going to next. You were talking about the confirmation sacrament.
Oh, yes. So. At the cathedral, which is actually the first time I went, have been to the cathedral since Eva received her blessing prior to being confirmed. So it was really cool because when we went there for that, there wasn't that many people there.
Right.
You know, but dude, it was packed.
And this is St. Thomas.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
St. Bloomfield.
No.
Oh.
No. What? Not. Okay. You got me messed up. It's the cathedral in Hartford. I had it. You messed me up with St. Thomas Seminary. No, it's the cathedral. Is it St. John's Cathedral? Oh, man, you're messing me up here.
Hartford Seminary?
No.
No.
So it's, I think it's St. John's.
St. Joseph?
St. Joseph's! I was close.
St. Joe.
So the Cathedral of St. Joseph is a massive building. Mm. And it's old, like Gothic on the inside, a lot of concrete.
Nice.
You know? But it's awesome. It's this beautiful space. And just to see it, like, filled to the brim, at, like people standing, that it's just awesome to see that. And it was just really cool to see the confirmation candidates from Sacred Heart there. And for them to be, like, surprised that I was there, like, you know?
Yeah.
But it was just really cool because you got to see, like, all these churches coming up together. And when the whole church, like, rises for them getting a mass and, you know.
They hear it.
Just that rise. And it's just that really cool moment. And then to see them be sealed in the Holy Spirit, you know. And just receives the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's just an amazing sacrament, you know.
Yeah.
And to see it done by the Archbishop with a couple of other bishops to help do it, you know, with hundreds of kids getting confirmed. It was just really, really awesome. And with Sacred Heart, it's a smaller program, so we confirmed 12. And, you know, if you're under 25 getting confirmed, you can't do it at your own parish. You have to go to the cathedral. And they might have to do multiple masses next year if the sheer number is what it was this year. Because whether or not you have 25 or not, like, this was packed. There was no room.
That's reassuring.
That is absolutely reassuring. And that's where you get into the, like, the, okay, it's yours now. Like, you're confirmed. It's not the end. It's the beginning.
It's not a graduation ceremony.
Let's get into it. What can we do to keep you? What can we do to make sure that you continue your relationship with Christ? Have that individual relationship, that genuine relationship with Christ, your faith, with the church. What are you going to do with these gifts of the Holy Spirit? You know, like, this is just, it's awesome. So there was that. And, like we were saying, tomorrow Zoe, 2 months old, and Jen is...
turning 25.
25. Wow, I'm getting old. I was her confirmation teacher. Yeah. that's so weird. she's actually officially older than I was when I was her teacher.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
So how many people came to the paint night?
So we had a pretty good turnout. We had, I believe, 15 people, parents included.
Okay.
And there were some college kids that came back as well. Others that were interested, but just because of the schedule of it, they weren't able to make it.
Oh, man.
But there was definitely interest in having it again. So we talked with Steve DeMott about it, and he's all for it. He said, yeah, let's do it. So we're looking to do a December themed one.
Like, oh, that's
Christmas,
cool.
Christmas yeah. theme one. And it was fun because I hadn't seen Jen in that kind of setting before.
What day of the week was it?
It was a Friday night. Okay. It was like 6:30 on a Friday night. Some people said that worked perfectly. Others said, oh, if it was a little later, I could have made that. Yeah. But, you know, you try to accommodate as many people as possible, and we'll try for a Saturday for the next one. So hopefully more people can make it. But it was cool because I told Jen, you know, I can come and provide some music if you want. So yeah. when she wasn't doing any instructions, I just put on some nice background music. And it was cool seeing her going around and interacting with everyone and just being comfortable in her element. So
cool. That's
it was,
awesome.
I was proud of her, and there were a lot of great pieces of art that came out of that.
That's just really cool. That's just an awesome way. And I've talked to Jen and you about doing one at Sacred Heart as well. Yeah. I'm shooting for January for mine.
Okay.
Speaking of Sacred Heart, anyone who is listening to this, I have youth group this Sunday. All are welcome in these age groups. For middle schoolers, 4 to 6 p.m. on Sunday at Sacred Heart of Bloomfield, I have my junior high youth group. And then from 6:30 to 8:30, I have my high school youth group. Come, bring friends. If you're in high school, you're more than welcome to come to the high school one. If you're in middle school, you know, grades 6 through 8, you're welcome to come to the middle school one. Just thought I'd throw it out there.
Yeah.
So even if some of the St. Bart's kids that want to see what I'm up to,
yeah,
they're more than welcome to come to Bloomfield and hang out and have some fun. And hopefully, if you listen to this, you'll come.
Very so, good.
Just wanted to throw that out there.
Or see the Facebook Live video.
All right. So
everyone listening goes, yeah. What was that, that awkward pause about?
We were posing.
We were posing. Selfie.
NCYC is an awesome, awesome event. If you haven't had the chance to go, I know I've talked about it because I've gone 4 times.
Mm.
Yeah, 4, I think. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Sorry. It's an awesome event. 25,000 young people celebrating just our faith together. Mm. Workshops, ways to continue to grow your faith, ways to be more involved in your faith.
Confession, too, right?
Oh, man, confession. Yeah. Awesome. It's an awesome opportunity.
A lot of cool stories coming out of that from what I've been told. I haven't attended one yet, but hopefully someday I will. But
how did you not get wrapped into going to this one?
I have no idea. I have no idea. They were talking about it going, oh, I wish I could go, because work schedule's a little crazy, but...
Yeah.
But I'd love to someday just be able to take some vacation time and go check that out.
Yeah, crazy. Next year they have the youth ministers one. I gotta talk my parish into sending me to that in Tampa.
Oh, okay. That'll be
so
fun.
It's always like in the first week of December, so I'm trying to take like a weekend off from doing home theater installs.
Yeah, yeah.
my regular job.
Especially with the holidays.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's super difficult to take time off. So, but anyway, NCYC.
I might have to put that on my calendar. Just leave that weekend open.
So, NCYC, if you're interested in going on that, you definitely should. The next one will be 2 years from now, and it's available to all high school age youth. So.
They had Fort King and Country playing at the last one, right?
Oh, yeah, last one. Yep, Fort King and Country. And what's the like the French Louisiana country band that we saw. They opened up for like Michael W.
Smith. Oh, I know who you're. I know who you're talking about.
They performed there too.
L'Angelus or something like that. Yeah,
I'm really well. I'm really describing this well. Looking for a
Cajun,
French.
It was a Cajun band.
French band from Louisiana.
Yes, it's Cajun music, which. You know, talking about how far Christian music branches out. To be able to say, we found a Cajun worship band. They exist.
So, that's a... So, anyway, yeah, NCYC is great. And, yeah, mm-hmm. like you said, For King and Country was there. And that kind of transitioned us right into music.
Okay, very good. So this past weekend, there were a lot of good releases. Paul Balash, who's actually coming to South Windsor in December, coming to a church to do some worship. He's had his project For Unto Us Christmas Worship Live from London released this past Friday, along with Cutlass's new album, Alpha Omega. Love and the Outcome had their EP Christmas Songs released. Derek Minor, a Christian rapper, just released a project called High Above. 10th Avenue North, love this project, just released Decade the Halls, Volume 1, which basically each track is a Christmas song from a different style, like different decade style.
Wow, that's cool.
So they got a Christmas song from the 20s, the 30s, and it's popular songs, but they just go, okay, what was the style of this genre that was popular? And then doing like Big Band.
It's a Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, Christian. that was before the 20s. And then they go up to like the 90s and then today. So just a cool variety. And then this weekend, Sarah Groves has her project Abide With Me. Matt Hammett from Sanctus Real is releasing his first solo album, which is self-titled Matt Hammett. And then Skillet, if you're a Skillet fan, they're re-releasing their Unleashed project and calling it Unleashed Beyond, which I believe will feature some extra tracks on it.
That's awesome.
So get your head banging on. New music from Skillet coming out.
Sweet.
You're already on that. I know you are,
Steve. Yeah, of course.
You're in Skillet.
Oh, no.
Do you remember that time at Soulfest when I think you were there for this one. There were a bunch of people in the crowd holding skillets, like, in the air, like actual...
Yeah, like pans.
Kitchen accessories, waving them in the crowd. And the band's like, oh, my gosh.
So...
Like, yeah. We haven't seen that before.
Just carrying stuff for your kitchen.
they brought the sink.
So, we're just going to transition right into...
Smooth.
St. Gertrude the Great. So, St. Gertrude, at the tender age of 4, went to school that basically... like, all the girls that go to the school end up becoming nuns. Mm. Super strict background for this school. And she basically knew that she was going to be a nun, like, very young. Mm. And so she actually became a nun, a Benedictine nun, and began having visions of the bond between her and Jesus being the true marriage, where her vows to her faith and her vocation of being married to Jesus, she had those visions. And many visions, and she wrote them down. And there's like all this historical documentation of her visions and everything. And it's just really, really awesome story about her faith and her deep... a devoted love for her faith in Jesus and God, and dedicating her life to that, and just her knowledge of scripture, speaking multiple languages, being able to read in Latin, and just all that, you know, which was not really expected of nuns in like the in the late 1200s, you know, mid to late 1200s. So it's just, you know, an amazing thing.
Right.
And so she is a saint. You know that she is in heaven. And, yeah, just
Isn't she also the only woman to be titled the Great?
I do believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. Like, to just think about... just all the things, like, that, just there's so much about her, and it you really should know, like, so when Pope Benedict gave her the title the Great, he knew that she was the only woman that got that title, and it's just, I don't know, like, that kind of stuff is really cool, like, the things that she did in her life, especially, like I said, back in the 1200s, you know, a woman's just overall devout nature to her faith, and then being able to just have that total immersion in the scripture, and just the things in her visions, and it's just awesome. So if you have a chance, definitely look up the story of Saint Gertrude the Great, because she's an awesome saint.
Very good.
Yeah. Scripture. I gotta get my Bible.
Yes, get your Bible.
It's upside down.
That won't help.
That's not even a joke. I definitely opened it upside down. All right.
Looking in Revelations now, upside down.
All right, so...
everything was normal.
If you're following along at home, this is Luke 17. Asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he said in reply, "The coming of the kingdom of God cannot be observed, and no one will announce, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for behold, the kingdom of God is among you." Then he said to his disciples, "The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. There will be those who will say to you, 'Look, there he is,' or 'Look, here he is.' Do not go off. Do not run in pursuit. For just as lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer greatly and be rejected by this generation." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So this is one of the stories where, you know, the Pharisees are trying to catch Jesus. Like, "Oh, you say the kingdom of God's coming? When's that going to be?"
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "It's here." So you're not going to notice it. You're not going to be able to pick it out. But it's among us all. And he's telling his disciples, like, don't buy into, like, "Look over there. Look over there." Just know that I'm going to be everywhere. Just as lightning flashes and lights the sky from one side to the other, so shall the Son of Man. Saying, like, I'm going to be here, and I will, when my light covers, it'll be everywhere. At least that's the way I took it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just really cool to think about the fact that the kingdom of God is all around us. And you have to just know it. You have to just know when it's there, right? So I always say all the time, like, if you just are walking around with this negative outlook on life and all you see is darkness and all you focus on is darkness, that's all you're going to see. But if you focus on the good things that God has provided in your life, regardless of what kind of day you're having,
right?
You know, regardless of if you're having a bad day, if you still focus on the blessings, you know, like, I have some rough days. I have days where I don't sleep right now, you know, like, there's days where I'm overwhelmed. Eva has Zoe. There's days where she's overwhelmed, you know, And we just have to remember how blessed we are, mm-hmm. you know, focus on God and just like, I can't even imagine my life without this blessing now.
Right.
You know, like this is just really, really awesome. And just have to stay focused on God and that He will provide and that stressing out about it isn't going to help me any.
Right. Well, that's like a quote I found a couple of years ago where it says, worry is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So, yeah. No, and exactly. What did you think of this?
No, I think you hit it on the head. I mean, talking about, you know, being present and witnessing God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
I know the last job I was working before I transferred over to a new job elsewhere. Within the last year, I was still upset, like, at the new job, like, just kind of carrying the emotions from the last one.
Yeah.
And I didn't really realize how long I was carrying this burden with me until I was looking at, like, pictures and videos from, like, years before and going, yeah. Well, what happened to that? You know, what happened to that joy that I had? I need to get that back.
Trust me. I.
You know?
Yes.
And so I was talking to Jen because every now and then she has downer days with work or whatever is going on. And she says, you know, I don't know how to control it. What should I do? I said, you know, sometimes I've just realized I had to say, I'm going to choose joy. You know, things might be frustrating right now.
Well, yeah.
But I'm not gonna let that chain me up. I'm gonna focus on joy and say this is the mentality I'm gonna.
Yeah, and it's hard, man. There's times where I get super frustrated, and most of the time it's frustrated with myself. Mm-hmm. Like most of the time when I'm frustrated, it's with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's my reaction to something. Like if I'm tired, if I'm exhausted, I'm more apt to come back with like a negative or like a jab or something where I shouldn't, you know, and I have to apologize to Eve a lot where I'm just like, I'm short, you know, like, but I have to be better about that. I have to bring myself back up. And it's funny where you talked about changing jobs and stuff and you can get stale, you can get down, or if you had a really rough year at something and, you get the opportunity to go somewhere else. I can't express how much reinvigorated I felt going to Sacred Heart. Just like that, that excited feeling, excited and nervous. Like I've never started my own program before, but like things are going really awesome. And when I was talking with MJ about, like, I got that pumped up feeling again, like leading up until that confirmation retreat, like I was saying before, and just that feeling of like, this is gonna work.
Yeah,
I know it, and I'm just getting like
the Holy Spirit, charging you up,
just getting like revved up about it, and so like getting reinvigorated and finding that joy and like just getting back into it and realizing that like. When you're doing the work that God has called you to do, regardless of what that work is, you can feel it. When you're doing something that God has given you the gifts to do, and trust me, I'm not saying that to be braggadocious.
Right.
I love that word, by the way.
That's a good word.
It's actually, you know, what bragging means. It's like the shorter version of braggadocious.
Really?
So, yeah.
sounds like something from Mary Poppins.
It sounds like a word I made up right now, but it's not. I have this gift of working with young people and getting them connected to Jesus, but that gift is from Jesus. And I never forget that. So anyway, news of the weird.
News of the weird. So Thanksgiving is coming up. It's a week from tomorrow, believe it or not.
Week from tomorrow.
Yeah. So Stovetop, which is well known for their turkey stuffing, has gone into another aspect of marketing.
Yeah.
And they have come up with pants. Thanksgiving dinner pants.
Are they and stretchy?
They are stretchy right around the waist. And, so the company, it says this is owned by Kraft Heinz, released a tongue-in-cheek ad for its very real Thanksgiving dinner pants, which bear the image of stuffing on their elastic waistbands. And you can get these for $19.98. the pockets of the pants.
Not the year 1998.
No. $19.98. Yeah. No, they haven't made any new pants since 1998. But the pockets of the pants are also lined with stuffing printed fabric.
Lined in stuffing printed fabric. So the inside of your pants look like stuffing.
So yeah, no need to loosen the belt. You can just wear the pants and you're good.
I mean, it is just a quality move to just wear stretchy pants. I'm going to borrow a pair of Eva's maternity pants.
There you go.
See? Now I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You know what I am not prepped for?
What's that?
The Thanksgiving Day race.
Are you running this year?
Dude, I've run for like the past 5 years in a row.
You should have that little, I mean, I don't know if they have one for Zoe's size, but you know how they have those little back things, the little carriers?
So we have a carrier for Zoe, but yeah, I will not be running.
Go flying
that.
Out.
I'm going to be so out of breath. What if I pass out with Zoe? No, dude, I have no prep, no nothing. Yeah. Running.
Didn't you do it last year though with no prep and do you just fine?
Yeah, probably.
You're still here.
I mean, I'm alive.
Yeah.
That's what even jokes around. It said you have done less and less prep every year.
You've done the tough mudder with no prep.
That's the thing is I've done drastically less and less prep every year for the tough mudder for the Manchester Road Race. So hopefully I'll see you next time.
Yes, I'll be counting on it.
Don't die of a heart attack. But yeah, wish me luck. Pray for me. Appreciate it. Got anything? Social media, anything coming up?
Just happy Thanksgiving, since we'll be seeing you after Thanksgiving. We'll have to recap on that.
Yes, recap. Hopefully I'll catch my breath by the
you'll be crawling in.
This music is getting loud. All right.
I feel like we're at an award show and they're booting us off the stage. Wrap it up!
As always, thanks for listening. Keep smiling, and God bless.